Welcome to the Samuel Leeds podcast. On this week's episode, I'm going to be sat down with a lady called Chloe, and she's going to be explaining and we're going to be talking about how to be a deal sourcer and how you can make £2,000 per day from scratch. Stay tuned. So this is a follow-up interview. We did a documentary together. I spent a full day with you where you made £2,000 from scratch deal sourcing. For anyone that didn't watch the video, tell us what happened.
You run a competition. I think it was just Christmas time. At the time when you said people tend to, you know, not do anything and things like that, but there's plenty of time because obviously you're off work. And your competition was, I think it was about five different pieces that you had to do. And one of them was to book as many properties to go and view as possible.
Yeah.
So I did that and I put it on your Facebook page that how many I'd viewed. And then I think it was a couple of weeks later, I got a message from you. I think it was saying, what's your phone number?
And then, always a scary kind
yeah,
of message.
And I was thinking,
you're
oh
like,
goodness.
Why do you want to know?
Yeah, why do you want to know?
It's because I fancied you. I wanted to take you on a date.
Of course.
Maybe.
I knew it.
You knew it really.
I knew it really. So then you rang me up. I was actually on a viewing at the time with one of my sort of estate agents that I get on really, really well with. And you said that I'd won, and I was obviously absolutely thrilled. And then after put the phone down, me and I was screaming around the house, just hugging and everything.
Oh, that's so cool!
She was really pleased with me.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And then I booked some viewings in Burnley, met you in Burnley, and we viewed about eight, I think, in total. Yeah, some of them weren't so good.
No, they weren't all great, but that you'd never know until you turn up.
No, you don't know until you turn up.
No.
I did learn a lesson. It's no excuse, obviously, but I was working, you know, full time at the time, and I didn't check everything fully. I did it on most of them, but I didn't look on Street View on one of them.
Yeah.
And obviously, that was the one with all the houses that were boarded up. So
that
was a big lesson for me to learn. But luckily, obviously, I'd booked so many, it wasn't a wasted journey, you know, if that was the only one that I'd booked, because I would never go so far and just book one. Obviously, you know, you need a few, you know, a few. Lots of different ones. I think some were sort of needed refurbishment. Some were probably single let. Most of them were HMOs. And then we found the most perfect one.
Yeah, and we sold that on the day.
We did.
Made £2,000.
Yes.
And it was quite a surreal day because starting from nothing apart from some viewings. And your background, I don't think I might be wrong in saying this, but you'd never sold any deals previously.
No.
You'd never made any money in property previously, I don't think.
Not deal sourcing or anything like
what
that.
What
had
you done? What was your property background?
Property background was SA.
Okay.
But I didn't know it was called SA actually until I went on the crash course.
Right. So tell me about that then. Tell me about your first.
It was just holiday lets.
Did you buy something and rent it out, or did you rent something and then do it as a holiday let? How did that work?
It was with my ex-partner.
Yeah.
We bought it together.
Yeah.
And then obviously I took over and found out really that SA made the most money than obviously using it as a single let.
Yeah.
But I did manage it and do everything myself, which I'm glad I did. But I also regret doing it because it is too much hard work. It is almost like a full-time job.
Yeah.
I was cleaning it. I was booking them in. I was key handling. I was doing everything.
Yeah.
And I did that for about 10 years.
Wow.
Then unfortunately, situations changed and obviously didn't keep it. But I had no idea it was called serviced accommodation at the time, and so I was like, I've done one of those.
So deal sourcing, because what I really want to get into on this is how you did what you did, and I know some of the comments as well, people were saying, you know, oh, she would have never have done that if you weren't there, and it's like, that's the point. I came with you to help you, but after that, you've also gone on to do the same, and you've made some money, so I want to get onto that, but I want to just give the listeners as much information as possible around exactly start to finish, A to Z, how you found some properties, packaged them up, sold them. I know to begin with you used my investors, but you went on to find your own investors. You've made your own money. How much have you made in the last kind of few weeks?
£3,000
plus the £2,000 you made with me?
Yes.
So you've made £5,000?
Yes.
In maybe a month or so, 2 months?
Yeah.
A month and a half?
Yeah.
So about £5,000 in 5 weeks, which is phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
You applied for Winners Wednesday and Amelia declined. How rude.
How rude.
How rude. Because she said, because she wanted to get a little bit more, you know, some months under your belt just to show that it's very, very consistent. So on for this, it's just a case of information. How do you do what you do? I know you're going to be on Winners Wednesday very, very, very soon as well. But let's talk deal sourcing. So firstly, how do you find deals and what kind of deals are the type that investors are looking for?
I find the ones that they're looking for is the refurbished ones, so they can pull all their money out, or mm-hmm. as much as they possibly can.
Right.
That is fine for me. I don't mind doing that. I think some people find that a little bit harder to sort of work the calculations out, but if that's what they want, then that's absolutely fine. It's just a case of starting off, I just literally go onto Rightmove. If I'm looking in my area, I'll go onto Rightmove, look at all the properties that need some sort of refurbishment, and then obviously talk to the estate agent.
Yeah.
And then it's just checking nearby house, you know, sold prices, you know, what sort of thing it's going to rent for, and all the checks that you need to do through all the different websites and things like that. And then obviously you go and view it. Mm. And then because sometimes on the photos, they're not quite showing the cracks. They're not quite showing how bad they actually are until you see it.
Or there's just no pictures at all.
Well, if
they're in bad condition, sometimes the estate agent doesn't want to flaunt the fact they're so terrible.
Yes.
So there's no pictures and it just says, needs some modernisation.
Yes.
So a lot of the problems that you've been finding then, that they are buy, refurbish, refinance opportunities.
Yes.
Okay. So what exactly is that then? So that's a property that you're going to add value to, right?
Yes.
And then you're going to be able to push the value up. So as an investor, let's say I'm an investor and you're bringing a deal to me. What exactly is the product? What is the service? Because if it's on Rightmove, one could say, oh, well, I could just find it myself. So what am I paying you for, the deal sourcer, as an investor?
You're paying me for the knowledge. You might not be local to that area. You might not have the time to view it yourself.
Mm.
You might not have time to do anything at all. You might just be at work all the time and just have some money, want to invest in property, but just don't have time to do it.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, then I could suggest what area, depending on what sort of, you know, what you want.
Yeah.
It might be a case of, you know, sort of up north again, sort of near Burnley, you know, to, you know, if you want cheaper houses, or sort of maybe sort of Southampton if you, you know, if you want the capital growth. Mm. It all depends on that. I find a lot of people, you know, have got the money, but they have absolutely no time, not even any time to really go on Rightmove at all.
Yeah.
But it's not obviously about going on Rightmove. It's about doing, you know, all the checks or, you know, everything else. And it is not a 5-minute job. It takes a long, long time to do it properly.
So basically then, so you've mentioned knowledge. So they might not have the know-how.
Yes.
Or they might have the know-how, but they don't have the time.
Yes.
So me, for instance, of course, I've got the know-how. But for me, it might be a case of, I want to invest in properties in Burnley or wherever, Middlesbrough. I know it's a good area. I know the strategy. I know what to do. But I haven't got the time to view them. I haven't got the time to negotiate the price down. I haven't got the time to be calling back and forth with the agents. And so I'll pay you a couple £1,000. And then you go sort it, hand it to me on a plate.
Yes.
And then I'll go for it, which makes sense. Okay. So what do you actually get from paying you? What's the average kind of fee? I mean, we charge £2,000 for the day to a buyer. Is that about typical?
Yeah, sort of 2 to 3. Yes.
2 to 3,000.
2 to 3. Yeah. Okay. That's for the sourcing.
Yeah.
If it's deal packaging, obviously that's slightly more.
How much is that then?
It depends. Sort of maybe up to £5,000, but it depends on the deal.
What's the difference between deal sourcing and deal packaging?
Deal sourcing is where you find the property and negotiate and obviously buy the property for the investor.
Yeah.
Deal packaging is where if it needs, say, refurbishment, then you would find local traders, sort the property out. Maybe you'd find out the nearest solicitor You know, and just basically do as much as you possibly can, and sort of manage the project as well.
Okay.
So that's why it's slightly, obviously, you know, sort of more.
So you're overseeing the project as well.
Yes.
Oh well, I mean, hey, $5,000 sounds cheap if you're doing that, and I guess it depends on the project. If they're buying a large, you know, commercial to residential block or something, then of course, but if it's a small,
yes.
So it will vary a bit, but that makes sense. And so let's talk about just a standard £2,000-£3,000 fee,
okay,
like what we've done on the documentary. So you are negotiating the price.
Yes.
You are, what else? Doing the checks on the area.
Yes.
What else?
Viewing the property itself.
Of course, viewing it.
Yeah, photographs, videos, anything obviously that they, you know, they want.
What would happen if they paid you £2,000 and then the property fell through, or they got someone else came along at the last minute and offered more and you were gazumped? Where does that leave the investor and where does that leave you as the deal sourcer?
If that was the case, what I would do is I'd say to them, unfortunately, obviously, this has fallen through, but I will find you a similar property for the same sort of figures, you know, maybe the same sort of area, and therefore, I do it, you know, and then therefore just, you know, replace the property with something else. Yes.
And what would happen if you couldn't replace it? Let's say you said you replace it, but then time was ticking, weeks were turning into months, and you hadn't replaced it. Where would that leave the investor? Could that not leave them in a very vulnerable position?
Yeah, of course it could. So obviously, you know, I would, in that situation, refund them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And is all of this drawn up in sort of terms
it
and conditions?
Is. Yes, I've got all full terms and conditions.
Great. So when someone buys a house off you, you've got terms and conditions, you've got a clear agreement between if the property falls through, this happens.
Yes.
If you need a refund, this is how it works.
Yes.
And it's all there before they actually pay you any money.
It is, yes. Everything's all, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes the investor feel much more comfortable because they're paying you for something, but they know that they've got, you know, there's refund policies in place. Also, how does the legislation side of things work? I know that's something that you've gone on and done.
Yes,
so
becoming
compliant. So you're now a member of the Property Ombudsman?
I am, yes.
And what's your company name?
It's NBPI.
NBPI. I'm trying to work out what that might stand for now. What does it stand for?
Well, when I used to do dog training in other businesses, I'd call myself New Beginnings.
Oh, wow.
So, because I just love the name New Beginnings. So I just use the NB, and then PI is Property Investor.
Love it. New Beginnings Property Investor. Great. Okay. So since we met, you've set up a company.
Yes.
And you've become compliant.
Yes.
Where did you... Well, we'll talk about compliance in a minute, but where did you get the money to do that? Because I know when we met, you didn't have any money.
Yes.
You were flat broke at the time.
Yes.
Due to a whole bunch of circumstances,
yes,
you know, building up to that. So where did you get the money to become compliant?
I was viewing properties, again, as I do, and I'd found this really lovely one. And I actually met an investor at the DSM.
Which is the Deal Selling Masterclass.
It is, yes.
So hold on a minute. You became compliant. You've also invested in more training.
Yes.
I'm just really curious to find out where all this money came from, but we'll get there. So go on.
Okay. So do you want me to go back to...
No. Keep going. So you met this guy at the DL Selling Masterclass.
Yep, I did. And we, part of the course, I think we had to get into pairs and rig up estate agents. And the person I was sitting next to paired up with someone else and lots of other people. And I sort of sat there and I thought, there isn't anyone. And I noticed someone near the front sort of looking around. And we sort of did the nod, do you want it? And I thought, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's how I met him.
Okay. And what happened?
So, yeah, so we got paired up, obviously. We were doing things. And I noticed, like, a few things that he didn't quite seem to understand. And I was sort of pointing out, well, actually, you need to do this and that. And I think he sort of come to me and said, oh, I've got this great one. It's this. And when I worked out the ROI, I said, actually, it's about 9. And he was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So I think just at that sort of point, he just thought, she seems to know what she's doing here. We sort of got chatting, and then we both took our seats, and that was the end of that. I think it was at the end of that day, he came up to me and said, oh, you know, we need to swap numbers, you know, because I'm only about an hour away from you. You know, we need to keep in contact. I said, yeah, that's fine. So, yeah, so I think it was a couple of days after the course had finished, he'd contacted me and said, I'm looking for some properties. Is there anything you can help me with? And I said, well, yes, there is actually. There is one that I viewed. I think it might be perfect for what you've described.
Okay.
He was about an hour away from me, so we were having these conversations, but I was finding it a little bit difficult. So I just said to him, "Look, I'll tell you what, how about," because again, he was extraordinarily busy, and I said, "How about I come to you on," I think it was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah, okay, that's fine." So I thought, you know, let's just stop talking and just, you know, are we going to do this or not? So yeah, so I drove over to him, had a good chat with him, showed him everything, and he was really, really pleased. Then I explained to him, I said, "I have to be honest with you, I said, I'm not compliant. I said, I either need to, is it co-deal source with, you know, with somebody else?"
Yeah.
I said, "Or I don't know really what to do. I suppose I'll just have to give it to you. I don't know."
So basically, at this point, you'd found an investor,
yes.
Him, you'd found a deal.
Yes.
But you weren't compliant, so technically, in order to sell that deal to him, you believe in him unprotected, yourself unprotected.
Exactly.
You're a very ethical person, and you thought, "Ooh, I need to tell him what the situation is."
Yes.
So you told him, and what did he say?
He said to me, he said, so what is co-deal sourcing?" And I said, "Well, obviously, you know, I'd have to split the fee, you know, with somebody else." And he said, "Yes, but you're the one who's, you know, you're the one with the investor, you're the one with the property."
Exactly.
That seems a shame. And I said, "Well, that's the only legal way to do it." And he said, "Well, what happens if you get compliant?" And I said, "Well, obviously I could do it, but I don't have the money." And he said, "Well, I tell you what, I'll give you £1,000 now to be compliant." He said, "Go and get compliant." He said, "And then come back on Monday once you're compliant, and then we could put in an offer for the property."
Wow.
And that's what I did.
That's brilliant. And then what happened?
Put in an offer. It was a little bit back and forth, which again, I was pleased my first offer was rejected, because it means that I think if it was accepted, I'd think, "Oh, I've obviously done it too high." So I was pleased it was rejected.
And it also, I know, it allowed you time for the compliance thing to go through.
Yes, exactly.
As well, which worked out well.
So I did that obviously on the Saturday and Sunday. Got all the compliance sorted. Put in the offer on the Monday, and I think it was about 5 o'clock, I think it was, on the Monday, it came through that the offer was accepted.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I contacted him, and he was really, really happy.
So you got... He paid for you to become compliant.
He did.
Did he pay you anything else?
He did. He paid me another £2,000.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So he was a very, very good, genuine, reasonable investor.
Yes.
And what's going on with that? Is that all going through smoothly?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where is that property?
That's in Wellingborough.
Okay.
That property is.
And what is it?
It's a single let, but it needs a lot of work doing to it. So once he's refinanced, the ROI is, I think it's ridiculous, like 29%
Fantastic.
On a single let, because of the amount you can add to the value of the property.
How much is he buying it for?
He's buying it for £137,500.
And what's the refurb?
The refurb, I think, is going to be around about, I think it's about 5 to 10.
Okay.
Something on the
And you've got
now.
Builders in the area?
He does.
Ah, so he knows his stuff.
He's got his builder friends that they've already been round and quoted for it.
Yeah.
I think the property itself was, the father, I think, died and left it to his children.
Right.
So they just wanted it sold.
So they're happy to sell it cheap and just quick, and it needs a bit of work done into it.
Yes.
The investor's going to do it up. And what's the expected GDV, the new value on it?
Worst case scenario, 180.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that sounds like, I hope you're going to have a very happy investor.
Yes.
So you found it.
Yes.
You packaged it all up.
Yes.
You got everything ready. You did the research, and now he's paying you £3,000. It makes sense.
Yes.
If I was him, I'd pay for you to become compliant.
Yes.
So
I think what he said is, he said that he wants to keep doing it. So he wants to stick with me. So if I'm compliant, then we can just keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Where did you learn the skills to get so good at property? How did this... but you're really good, though.
Thank
so
you.
So talk to me about the journey.
I got
that.
It all from you.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's true. So I went to the crash course. This, I think, was September of last year. And it really did start from the crash course.
Yeah.
It really, really did. I can't, you know, people say it and you think, yeah, go and then you'll understand, you know.
Yeah.
So I walked out and I thought, right, that's it. You know, this is where it really starts for me. And there was obviously, you discussed through all the different types, you know, that there is. And I was thinking, do I do deal sourcing? Do I do, you know, rent to rent? Which one am I interested in? So it was just a case of sort of learning them all. And then I sort of decided that deal sourcing was definitely the one that I wanted to do. So I booked on, I can't think of the date now, early February, wasn't it?
Yeah, you did the deal selling masterclass.
Yes.
That was a squeeze for you to do that. And you had to save up, you had to use some of your money that you made from deal sourcing.
Yes.
But you were so adamant that you knew that you needed the training.
Yes.
For you. It was just like, you know what? I've got money and all that from the deal sourcing, which is great. And I could use that to pay for bills. But no, I'm going to actually put myself first.
Yes.
Which was a really, I really admire that.
Yeah. So when we went to Burnley on the 30th, I think it was, you obviously transferred the £2,000 into my bank account that day.
Yeah.
And I think I was talking to Amelia and I said to her, when's your next course? And I think she said it was about 5 or 6 days away. And I said, can I go on it, please?
Yeah.
I want to use that money.
Yeah.
And book on it. Absolutely. Because, you know, I've done this, but there's still a lot of holes in the sense that, you know, everything that you sent over to the investor, I was thinking, I wonder what that is and what are your terms and conditions and what's this and what's
that. So you've got the skills from the crash course of how to find deals.
Yes.
But then when you did the day with me.
Yes.
I sold the deal to my own investors and you were thinking, wow, how do I get a list of investors?
And I want to do that.
I want to build a list of investors.
Yes.
So then you put the money that you made towards doing training.
I did,
and
yes.
You then met someone actually at the course.
Yes.
And that's interesting because sometimes people say as well, oh, can't you just find the information online?
No.
I mean, no. What's your thoughts on that?
The reason why you can't find it online is because you don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I learned things on that course that I did not know existed. Mm. There's no way I could have researched it when I don't know what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, you don't know what you didn't know until you know it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't see how you can possibly do it online unless you know what you're looking for.
And even if you do, there's so much nonsense online about, like, with wrong information. I find that scary. Even on, like, Facebook groups and stuff, people ask questions and the answers will be wrong.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, that's the wrong answer. So there's 99% of the stuff that you read around deal sourcing, and it's wrong. Even from sometimes so-called experts, they say stuff that is just incorrect.
Yes.
Because you can publish anything online.
Yeah.
You know, and going to the program, you'll know more than anything. It's not a seminar, it's a doing-er.
Yes, it is.
You're actually doing it.
You're doing it.
And you saw on that program, you saw deals being sold,
yep.
Investors being called, you found an investor.
Yes.
Again, you can do it online, but you're on your own.
Yeah.
But money comes from people.
Yes.
So being around other investors, which is what you experienced.
Yes.
So how did you find the deal selling masterclass?
I loved it. It was really, really, really
was
good.
Was it a good investment?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when I first went on it, I do talk to people, but I'm not someone, you know, I'm not the person that walks into the room and say, hey, everyone, I'm here. I'm not that type of person.
Yeah.
So I was talking to a few people, but I think it was it the second day you pulled me up on stage?
Yeah.
And then as soon as I sat down, like the next break, I was just like so many people, oh, what's your phone number? And, you know, and just, yeah,
that's
all
great,
interested.
Though.
And yeah,
when you put yourself out there like that.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And I think as well, I mean, what's great is you made your money back from the training while you were there by meeting an investor.
Yes.
Which is just great.
It is, yeah. Because I think it was Alistair that actually said, you know, there might be people in here that are investors. And to be honest with you, I was sitting there going, yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, they're all here to just sell
of
deals.
Course, yeah. You know, and then I go and find one. So I was a bit like, feel like I need to apologise to him just for my thoughts.
We'll officially apologise on this podcast to Alistair. But no, Alistair's right, though, because it happens all the time. People make money on the programme. And of course, you see Alistair and myself selling deals, you know, on stage to investors. So that's exciting. Okay, so when you first heard me on the phone, even when we met for that day,
yes.
And I was selling the investor, what did you learn from that phone call? Because it was quite different from what you'd previously been doing and previously had seen. Do you remember when I sold the deal to the investor?
Yes.
What happened?
What was different was the fact that he didn't ask, you know, can I have the address? You know, all that. That's the sort of thing that, you know, you can get sometimes. But I think the thing is obviously when you've got the reputation, when you've got everything set out, they understand the process and they will, you know, they will go with the process. So it's not just like, although they are strangers, they feel that they're not. They feel, I suppose, like the only one, if that makes sense. Because they don't know, obviously, how many other people you've got on the books. They don't know how many you do. When they ring up or when, you know, you're doing a deal with them, they're the only one, you know, in their heads, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just... I can't remember the question. I'm really sorry.
No, it was just what you learned from or what happened on the phone when I sold the deal. You know, the sales call.
Yeah. Because
you said just, normally your experience from what you'd seen or heard or tried was they ask loads of questions.
Yes, they do.
And they're, oh, what's the door number? And well, how big's the garden? And
this and another. What if this? And what if that? And what if that? But I what I learned from that and what is me, and it makes me feel better because I can actually be myself because obviously I've seen you do it, is just you know, just the fact that, you know, it is what it is, and then, you know, they just trust you or they don't. If they don't trust you, then, you know, or if they don't, well, not you, but if they don't trust people in general, if they're that type of person, then it's probably best if they don't, you know, sort of go for it, because there are a lot of people that just say, yeah, fine, okay, you've got, you know what you're doing, this looks fine, that's fine, because they've got 14 days to view it themselves and do their own work.
And then if they
don't
like it, then they can pull out and get their money back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, let's just do this. You've got 14 days to sort it out. If there's a problem, if I've missed something, it's fine. You know, it's absolutely fine.
And if they don't trust that and they don't believe you, in, then you've got a contract. And if they don't trust the contract and they don't believe it, then as you say, maybe it's best that they find somebody that they do trust.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you can't get fairer than that. If you're saying, look, these are the details, these are the figures, you know, you're going to have a 14-day calling period where you can do all your own research. And if for any reason, anything I've said you're not happy with, then you can get a refund.
Yes.
So if they're serious and they actually are interested in the property and they actually want to buy something, you can't get fairer than that.
Exactly.
And I think as well, something that I do is I'll ask them up front. So I'll give them the details. They'll, of course, see the email. And I'll say, what else do you need to know from me in order to make a decision? And then they'll ask me a question. And then rather than just answering it immediately, they'll say, okay, is there anything else? Is there anything else? So I get all their questions from them up front. And then I'll say, awesome. Bang, 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 bang. Answer their questions. And then suddenly it's like they've just said that that's all they need to know in order to make a decision. So you answer all their questions. And then it's just a case of doing a close. Yeah. And I think it is a sales call.
Yeah, it is.
But people think that sales is trying to be pushy or trying to be... But the thing is, before they even ask questions, any question at all, you're going to do what? Ask them questions.
Yes.
So what kind of questions do you ask your investors now?
Are they cash? Are they mortgage?
Yeah.
What sort of property are they looking for?
Yeah.
Do they want to be hands-on or hands-off?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of how quick are they thinking about doing this? They might be just sort of thinking about it at this stage, or they might be saying, yes, I'm ready to go. And then sort of, how much they've got or whatever, and then that sort of depends on what sort of area.
Mm-hmm. Because often the people that will ask you the most questions and pick your brain about everything to do with the property, the door number, the this and that, they're the people that aren't going to buy anyway. They haven't got any money. They're just probably wanting to be deal sources themselves.
Yes.
Trying to steal your deals or just trying to understand the process of how it works. So when someone calls up me and says, hey, I'm interested in the deal, I'll say, no problem. Well, look, before we go into it, is it all right if I ask you a few questions? Yeah, sure. All right, great. And then I go on and ask those questions.
Yes.
And then suddenly you're the person in control. You're pre-qualifying them. If they're serious and they've got the money and they're ready to go, then great. Then you can go into talk to about the deal with them. If they're not, oh, well... So if you say to someone, if I was to present a deal to you and it was right, would you be in a position where you could move today? Not really, because I need to speak to my lawyer and my dog. And all right, cool. Listen, this deal's going to go today. I've got a lot of investors that have emailed me and texted me. You saw how many people messaged
me.
Yes. Like, was it 42?
It was a ridiculous amount,
in the space of less than an hour, 42 people said, I want it, 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 I want it. So I can genuine hand on heart say...
Yeah.
You know, look, there's a lot of other people that are interested, so this is going to go today.
Yeah.
So if you're not quite ready yet, my suggestion is maybe give me a call back when you see another deal and you are ready, because this one needs to go today.
Yes.
If they're serious and they're like, yeah, I'm really, if the deal's right, then I'm good. Great. What kind of deal are you looking for exactly?
Yes.
Awesome. Questions up front, get their information. Great. Well, let me tell you a bit about the deal. Boom, 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 boom. How does that sound? Sounds really good. Great. I'm going to get the terms and conditions, everything sent over. Are you in a position where you'd be able to pay that today? It's just closing the deal.
Yes.
You know? And I think that's what people suck at so bad.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think they sort of need to understand is, you know, I intend to do this a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to rip you off because I want a good reputation.
Of course.
You know, I want to continue to do this.
So. Every business, you need to be able to market yourself.
Yes.
Right now, you're marketing yourself by being on this podcast.
Yes.
I'll put a link in the description with your website.
Thank you.
So you're generating eyeballs, because if no one knows who you are, they can't buy from you.
Exactly.
Market. Next, sales. That's what we're talking about right now. Got to be able to sell. Next, delivery.
Yes.
You want to always over-deliver. And then there's the finance side of things, okay, in the business. So when people, sometimes people say to me, like, oh, I'm not a salesperson. Or, oh, Samuel will just try and sell to you. It's like, you better believe it. Because if I didn't sell, then I wouldn't have money, because sales equals money.
Yes.
But the good news is I over-deliver, so you're all right.
Yes.
Because then you ruin your reputation and then you can't sell anymore. So, you know, and I think people don't get this. You can be you were brilliant at finding deals after the crash course, but you couldn't sell a deal.
Yes.
Because you didn't know how to market, you didn't know how to sell.
Yep.
Now you know how to sell. Now you're learning a bit about the marketing side.
Yes.
Which is happening, and you're making money now, which is awesome. What would your advice be to your 6 month younger self at the crash course, leaving the crash course fired up? What would your advice be?
I think it would just be, you know, just carry on what you're doing. It's going to work out all right in the end.
Yeah.
You know, but it is hard work.
What was the hardest point?
Depends what you mean by hard.
When was the? Have you ever felt like giving up?
No.
Really?
No.
So nothing's been that hard.
No.
You were struggling a bit when you messaged. I remember you messaging me about, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, before we spent the day together, and you were viewing houses, but you had no money.
Yes.
You had no investors.
Yep.
So you were viewing lots of houses, and a lot of people were telling you were stupid.
Yeah, they were.
They were discouraging you.
Yeah.
You were having to pay for petrol.
Yep.
To view houses, and you didn't have a lot of money, so it was hitting your finances. Surely you felt like giving up. No, not at all.
No.
What kept you going?
The fact that I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah,
and good. I was learning every single time.
Good.
Sometimes with estate agents, you know, if they're trying to sell a property, sometimes they might possibly want people to view it so it looks like they're doing their work, so they don't mind me viewing it, even if they don't think I'm going to buy it. Put it like that.
So true. I used to be an estate agent, so they get scored on how many viewings they've booked.
Exactly. So they true. Don't. It's not like I'm wasting their time or anything like that, you know. So, and it's just a case of the people that were sort of saying to me, you know, at the time, well, what if are you going to buy all these? I'm like, no, I'm not going to buy them all. Well, why are you viewing so many then? They're the people now that are coming to me saying, how much is that house worth? And how much is that? Because I know now.
Yeah.
I've been studying it for such a long time. I know how much they're worth almost without looking at the price.
Yes. Brilliant. Did you have a lot of people trying to hold you back?
Not hold me back, but they just didn't understand.
Yeah.
To be honest, they didn't understand.
So what was their motivation like for poo-pooing on your parade? Was it just, were they trying to protect you? Were they just confused? Were they threatened by you? What do you think the spirit behind people? Because you had a lot of people saying, you know, why are you viewing so many houses? Oh, you should, like, what do you think their motivation was?
I think it's kind of, you know, the time that you're viewing these properties, you could have done another 2 hours at work.
Yeah.
You could have done an extra 2 hours overtime and got paid, what, £16 or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know I could have done, but, you know, I've been to work all day or whatever. I want to go and view some houses because I want to be in that side of it. I don't want to walk away with another £16. That's not what I want.
Yeah.
I think it was a bit like that. I think it was a bit like sort of, you know, that's, you know, people that buy houses and do things, that's for them. Not for you.
Yeah.
But not in a horrible way, but, you know.
They're almost trying to just protect you then, maybe. They don't want to see you waste time. They don't want to see you buy into a pipe dream. I mean, that's something I get accused of. People say that I sell people dreams. Are you just selling? You're just selling dreams to vulnerable, poor people. It's like, no. The people that I'm training are people just like I used to be. Because when I started, I had no money. I'm from a working class background. I'm not like a guy who's born into wealth and's got, you know. So I had to really work for it, and I learned a lot along the way, and I'm just sharing my skills with people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And what's wrong with that?
Yeah, no, nothing. It's a noble thing. But the same people that didn't understand you and say, no, why are you doing that? It doesn't make sense. People don't understand me. And I think sometimes you're never going to win people over, because a lot of people, I know you've got some good, really nice friends as well, some beautiful people around you, but I think you might have heard me say before, firstly, you have the, you know, what are you doing? Stage. No, don't do that. Then you have the, well, we'll see what happens.
Yes.
You know, well, let's just see. And you're kind of probably at that stage right now. Like, let's see what happens. All right, you made $5,000 the last 5 weeks, but let's just see what happens.
Well, actually,
yeah,
I haven't told my friends.
You've not even told them?
No, because I've almost kind of lost them, all of them. Believe it or not, yeah. Believe it or not, because my path seems to be going in a different direction to those.
Yeah.
I'm now at the stage where, you know, sort of, you know, do you want to come out to the pub? Do you want to do this? I'm like, no, because I want to go and read a book.
Yeah.
I'm at that stage now where I'm drifting apart from them. Yeah. It's difficult, but I'm finding that I can't talk to them because my knowledge now is quite advanced compared to theirs, and they don't understand, and we can't have that conversation. So the people that I spend most of my time with now are people that have been on the courses, yeah, that I can talk to about things.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because I've got two Facebook pages.
Right.
One of like sort of my old life, so to speak, and one of my new life.
Yeah.
And when I first did it, I spent most of my time on the other one, my original one. Now I probably go on it about once a week.
Yeah.
Just to see, you know, what's sort of going on, because I've got so many friends now within my... I know it's... I've still got one life, but I always think of it as two lives.
Yeah.
As sort of my new life. And I put the video on, I think it was, on my original Facebook. And a lot of people watched it, but nobody commented. I didn't have anybody saying, oh, well done, or nothing. They just...
Wow.
Nothing. And I don't understand what that means. So
yeah, that's weird.
I can't tell them, because I think there'll be a lot of people that will either sort of say, oh, you know, like £3,000 to some of my friends, it might as well be a million, you know, and it'll be kind of like, I think some of them might be a bit, oh, well, you can do this, you can pay for this, you can do this for me now. Or it will be a bit sort of, oh, it's all right for you now, isn't it? You've got money. And so I haven't told him.
That's so strange. And it's weird that people haven't even commented on your old...
Nothing.
But then on the... I obviously, I'm not friends with you on your old Facebook.
Yeah.
But your new one, people comment so much.
Yeah.
There's so much love and positivity on there.
Yeah. And I've had so many people message me saying, you know, I don't comment on your posts or anything, but I am looking at them all, and I really enjoy, you know, watching, you know, listening or reading them every day.
Yeah.
And these people are from... I mean, some of them are from California, some from Australia, but they're all in the property business.
Yeah.
And they're just interested in, you know, in things like that. So.
And you've made loads... I know you've made a lot of friends on the courses.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I don't know if I can mention names or
well,
not, 'cause I don't know.
You don't have to mention names, but just about tell me about it.
Yeah, I met someone on the crash course,
yeah,
and we have literally been chatting, like, first of all, it was like almost every day after the course, but we talked to each other all the time. Yeah. All the time since crash course.
Is that the lady that I met?
No, that's somebody else.
Oh, different. Oh.
That's somebody else, yeah. I think he lives about half an hour away from her, so it's like everyone I meet has to be up north, apparently, so there's nobody sort of local. But yeah, it's just such a lovely, it's just so lovely.
Yeah.
I think it was when you pulled me up on stage, actually, and I sat down, a lady came up to me and she said, oh, she said, oh, I didn't realise, you know, and I said, oh, I was so nervous. And she said, oh, well, if that's you nervous, then, she said, because I hadn't got a clue, she said, you did really well. And I said, oh, thank you very much. She really meant it. And then she just walked off. And I thought, how lovely,
yeah,
that a stranger can just say that.
Yeah, it's so strange. And I think that in my world, and I've said this to you before, everyone is so supportive and positive.
Yes.
Everyone wants you to win.
Yes.
But in the out there.
Yes.
I guess you call it in the real world. But for me, it's not the real world. People don't want other people to succeed.
Yes.
And when you start succeeding, people try and drag you down.
Exactly.
And my advice always is to just surround yourself with people that want you to win.
Yes.
They're just better friends.
Exactly.
Have a better life.
Yeah. I mean, an example of that is when I caught the train this morning. I was on the platform and this man walked along with a strange sort of shaped briefcase, but you could tell he'd got money, the way he was dressed and everything else. And he sort of walked down the platform, and then the couple next to me were going, look at him, I think he knows it all and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, he hasn't done anything. He's just walked down the platform with a briefcase, and yet you're all slagging him off. You don't know who he is or what he, you know, anything about him.
Yeah.
But they just saw that as he's got money, so they just slagged him off.
Why do you think people hate on people that have money?
Because I think that they don't realise that they could.
Yeah.
That's honestly what I think. I think they separate it and think it's all right for them with the money.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it could be you with the money. They haven't done anything different to what you've done.
Yeah.
You were both born, you both do what you want. You know, the books are out there, the courses are out there, everything's out there.
Mm.
He's done it. Why don't you do it? And then you could be walking down there with your briefcase.
Yeah, totally. What do you think you're going to get up to this year? What are the plans? How are you going to get on Winners Wednesday? Because you're close.
The other thing I've done as well is I found a property that does need a lot of work doing to it. And so it was suggested to possibly do a joint venture.
Oh, I said this to you. You need to start joint venturing.
So I put it on, I can't remember what Facebook page it was. I put it on there, but I didn't ask for it. I just sort of wrote something, and then people sort of messaged, well, why don't you do a joint venture? And I said, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And then I had about sort of 10 people message me. I was chatting to those and getting things worked out. And hopefully, I think by next month, I will be getting the keys to a property.
Oh, wow.
So,
and that'll be a joint venture?
It'll be a joint venture.
That's going to be exciting.
Yes. It's going to be a flip.
Okay.
And once it goes on the market, hopefully we'll be getting between £20,000 and
£25,000
each.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Yes. And as well, I mean, I know you said on the documentary, your salary up until this point wasn't particularly high.
Yes.
It was what, like a grand a month?
Yeah.
So making 25 grand from one flip is just insane.
It is insane.
That's incredible. That I think once you've done that, a joint venture, and a few, you've kept up the deal sourcing for a few months, I think you're so going to be Winners Wednesday worthy.
Yes.
And also as well, I know Amelia thinks a lot of you as well, because she heads up all the winners. But what's the relationship been like there with just our company as a whole and working with us?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think I spoke to you, was it only about a week or so ago?
Probably.
Something like that. Yeah, just checking up. And Amelia's always messaging me, you know, how you doing? You know, is everything right? Anything you need, just let me know.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's so good.
All the time.
So, okay, final piece of advice. Golden nugget to leave the listeners with that want to start deal sourcing.
Okay. I've had a lot of people message me this, actually. So
You've been almost like a mini celebrity over the last month.
Yeah.
I mean, the video's had 15,000 views now.
Yes.
And you've been on stage.
Yes.
And you've been messaged. Have most of the response you had from the documentary, has it mostly been positive?
Oh, all positive.
It's been all positive?
All positive.
That's good.
Yeah.
All the messages have been positive.
Yeah.
So the only people that have been negative are your friends.
Yeah.
It says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. So when people message then and they're asking you for advice and things, what's the biggest golden nugget?
The main thing they say is how inspiring the video is.
Yeah.
How much that they've watched that and thought, oh, yes. You know, and I think a lot of people have said to me, I'm going to start doing this tomorrow and I've already booked for this and I've already gone onto this and everything else. What I say to them is, I say, right, what have you done so far? Where are you at? Anybody that says, I haven't done anything yet, I say, right, crash course.
Yeah.
Straight away. And once you've done that, then by all means, come back to me. But up until that point, I'm going to hand them over to you and you can do all the hard work and teach them.
And the crash course is free, right?
Exactly.
2 days, it's free.
Exactly.
And if people can't even travel to the crash course, they're never going to make it.
They're not.
They're just not.
They're not.
If they just want you to just give them a quick 3-point guide over a Facebook message that's going to suddenly solve all their problems and make them a millionaire, then they're in cloud cuckoo land.
Yes.
You've got to do the training. Because the thing is, property investing is the most lucrative profession on the planet.
Yep.
For anything you want to do, if you want to be a hairdresser, if you want to be a plumber, if you want to be a doctor, you need training. And people think that they can just pick someone's brain over a free coffee.
Yes.
And then suddenly they're going to be able to start doing it.
Yeah.
But actually, no, you need to get trained. And that's why I run a training company.
Exactly.
You can't skip that step. So crash course all the way.
Yes.
And then what?
If it's deal sourcing, then go on the DSM.
Yeah, deal selling masterclass.
Yeah.
That's where we specifically hone in on how to build your investors, how to sell deals, how to package them, email them, all that side of things.
Yeah.
That's great.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, if anyone sort of said, well, I don't have the money for this, or don't have the money for that or whatever, then co-deal source with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, or do something, because...
Find the money.
Yeah. I entered the competition, won it, went to Burnley, and obviously you give me £2,000.
Yeah.
That's how I went on it.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the money either. But that was my way of doing it.
But you, though, literally... You know, you were spending money that you didn't really have
yep.
on training on hotel bills. Yep. And you sacrificed a lot to do that.
Yep.
So when people say, because I know you said you didn't get any negativity, I saw a couple of comments saying, like, oh, it's all right for you kind of comment, one or two. You know, oh, it's only because Samuel was there. It's like, yeah, but you made that happen.
I did make it happen.
You made it happen. I didn't come to you randomly.
No.
I didn't just say, you know, oh, I'll just you know, spin a roll a dice. And I came to you because you came to the crash course, put yourself out there, you were active on social media, you were commenting on everything, you booked the most viewings out of anyone. You were so active. I just thought, I can't not.
Yeah.
So I came. And then when I came, you were like a sponge.
Yes, I am a sponge.
We spent the whole day together up until when it went dark.
Yes.
We were out negotiating outside people's houses.
Yes.
Did you, in fact, remember that point when I, because we separated actually for a short while, and we were trying to find, we couldn't get hold of the agent, and we really wanted to speak to the seller. We were calling him, he didn't answer.
Yeah.
We separated, you went in a different car, I was in a different car.
Yeah.
And then I was driving and I saw the seller. I was like, there he is. I was calling you, you weren't answering. I jumped out, I was like, oi, oi. And I just called him over. And I didn't want to negotiate because I wanted you to be able to do it. So I was like, hold on, just wait. And then I was waiting for you. I was calling you, I was getting irritated. I was like, where's Chloe? You were just... got lost or something,
no,
in houses.
I put this, put in the sat nav and went to a previous property. And we got there, was like, oh my goodness.
I was literally saying,
one.
What is going on? Is Chloe just got cold feet? Is she going to go
home
now?
See, I've had my phone on silent because we were filming all day. I didn't want it to go off, so I didn't notice.
Yeah.
And then obviously put in the postcode of the where we were supposed to be going. I said, how far is this? She was like, 10 minutes. So I was like, oh, you are joking.
So I'm standing there with the seller out in the cold, it's windy. And I'm like, yeah, Chloe will be here in a second to make you a very cheeky offer. So just stand there in the cold. And then you came and it was like, Chloe, come. And then you negotiated out in the dark, shook his hand. But you worked so hard. So I think, honestly, I think you deserve every success that you've had up until this point.
Thank you.
And I'm really, really excited about seeing what happens over the next few months and getting you on Women's Wednesday soon. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Guys, if you enjoyed this and if you want to get to know Chloe, we're going to leave a link for Chloe's website. I'm also going to leave a link for the Property Investors Crash Course. It's free, it's 2 days, and I'm going to leave a link below. So get yourself booked on. Thank you so much for listening and see you next time.